brief, Israel and Hamas have given cool public receptions to an Egyptian proposal to end their bitter war, but both are stopping short of rejecting the plan altogether. Our Robert Berger has part of what it entails.
The first phase of the Egyptian plan calls for a ceasefire of up to 2 weeks, during which Hamas would release up to 50 Israeli hostages, including women, the elderly, and the sick.
Britain's King Charles III speaks of the importance of human kindness in his annual Christmas address.
It is also a time when we remember those who are no longer with us and think also of those whose work of caring for others continues, even on this special day.
Meteorologist Bob Orvec with Who Is Seeing a White Christmas.
Winds gusting 40 to 60 miles per hour. That'll bring additional travel problems, especially from all the blowing and drifting snow that is anticipated across sections from northeastern Colorado, northwest Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two children in Wisconsin have died from RSV. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says one child died in northeastern Wisconsin and the other in the southeast. Health officials say RSV cases are on the rise in Wisconsin, especially among children under five. Some of them are in hospitals on ventilators. Health officials urge people to get vaccinated and take other precautions. The Wisconsin Supreme Court says it will adopt new legislative maps in time for next year's election unless the Republican-controlled legislature can pass maps that Democratic Governor Tony Evers will sign. All parties will be allowed to submit new maps to the court along with expert evidence and supporting arguments. The court will appoint one or more consultants to look at the maps and issue reports. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. If Merry Christmas isn't quite ringing true for you, you are not alone. A recent survey shows close to 40% of people feel extra stressed during the holidays. The best thing health experts say you can do? Check in with others and talk about how you're feeling. Here's Dr. Kristen Lierley.
I see it a lot in my profession, actually, because, you know, when it comes to pregnancy loss and so many complicated things that happen in people's lives, I see it all the time. And I think that there is a rule of thumb that we could apply across the board, which is ask someone how they're doing and then listen. You know, we try to solve their problems. No, it's not your job to solve their problems. It's your job to be their ear.
Wisconsin has a confidential number you can call or text. It's 988 and offers extra support every day, including Christmas. More than 90,000 people have used the 988 number in the last year. I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Packers get the win in Carolina. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The final score, 33-30. Packers were leading by two touchdowns. Rookie Bryce Young, quarterback for the Panthers, brought his team back. Had they put in new plays?
You know, we didn't have these magical new plays. We didn't have these, magical new schemes. We had some new stuff in. But ultimately, we've talked about all year. It's just execution.
The Packers are now 7-8 and still have a chance to make the playoffs. How did Jordan Love perform? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought Jordan did an outstanding job. We just never quite got into a great rhythm in the second half.
Love is running out of receivers. Christian Watson still dealing with a hamstring injury. Jaden Reed unable to play because of an injured toe. Dontavian Wicks suffered a chest injury after scoring a touchdown.
Christian being out and Jay Reed being out. Guys had to step up. Rome had to step up. Wicks had to step up. Just he's having more opportunities in that role with the guys injured. And obviously with him getting hurt, more guys got to step up.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. It is going to be a warm and wet Christmas day. We'll get to the upper 40s to near 50 this afternoon with showers this afternoon. 1 to 2 tenths of an inch possible. The wind today out of the southeast at 15 to 25. More light rain tonight, 43. Showers again tomorrow with a high right around 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt breaks down the difference between the Biden impeachment inquiry and the actual impeachment trials of Donald Trump. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it was made in the last 24 hours. I'm going to start with the lead story. The Republicans voted to launch an impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden without any basis whatsoever. And one way that is manifested is the vote. The vote was 221 to 212. 221 to 212. Absolutely a partisan vote. This guy, Mike Johnson, the speaker, back when Trump was impeached, said you should not have one-party impeachments. Remember something with Trump. They were bipartisan. Yes, they were largely Democratic, but there were a number of Republican congressmen who voted to impeach him. And then on the conviction phase in the Senate, Romney voted to convict him in the first impeachment for trying to blackmail Zelensky into starting an investigation into Joe Biden. Trump said he withhold weapons from him so they couldn't defend themselves against the Russians. And then the second impeachment, there were eight or so Republican senators who voted to convict him. And there were many Republican congressmen who voted for the impeachment. This was simply a campaign tactic to benefit Trump because Trump called for it and they're all afraid of Trump. 221, every Republican who voted for it. 212 with the Democrats, every Democrat opposed it. Remember, George Santos did not vote because he is thrown out on his ear. And apparently there was one other individual. He may have been one of the so-called moderate Republicans who is in one of the 18 congressional districts that Joe Biden carried, and they're afraid they quicken their boots over their reelection. But 221, every Republican who voted for it. 212, every Democrat voted against it. Jim Jordan, afterwards, he's going to be the one leading this thing on the Judiciary Committee. They are going to move to hold Hunter Biden in contempt because he didn't appear beyond closed doors for his deposition yesterday. And in the meantime, Jordan, Gymnasium Jim, G.Y.M. Jordan, blasted Biden, father, Joe Biden, son Hunter. And you know something? Jim Jordan had a subpoena for him to show up for his deposition. It was a subpoena from the January 6th committee, which is authorized by Congress. It was a congressional subpoena. And he just blew it off. And professional courtesy, they did not refer him for prosecution. They could have. Perhaps they should have. I would have. Maybe they thought that Merrick Garland wouldn't do it. Merrick Garland was dragging his feet, even going after Trump for the insurrection. Mitt Romney said, when the impeachment vote went down, that if he'd had a chance to vote on it, but he can't because he's in the Senate, he would have voted against a Biden impeachment. Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who's in the Senate now, said, quote, there is no evidence that Joe Biden is guilty of anything. The Republicans in the Senate get it. This thing has no chance of going anywhere, because even if they investigate and they wring their hands, and let's say they have an actual impeachment vote. First of all, this is only to authorize an inquiry into impeachment to support their subpoenas. Now, the average person in the public doesn't understand that or pay any attention to that. What's the difference between an inquiry to gather evidence for impeachment and the impeachment itself? I don't think there's ever been a time in American history that somebody that they launched an impeachment inquiry and didn't end up in impeachment. Certainly not with Andrew Johnson. Certainly not with Richard Nixon, although Richard Nixon resigned before he could have been impeached. They went to him privately, the Republicans, and said, you're toast. Bill Clinton, you know, they launched the inquiry and then they impeach. So there's a fascinating question here, what they think they're doing. I know what they're doing. They're trying to say, well, it's a horse apiece. We have a guy, yeah, he was impeached twice. Yeah, he launched an insurrection. People got killed. Five people got killed. 140 D.C. police officers were out on medical leave, some with concussions, with depressions, with brain injuries, some of them. Several committed suicide efforts. Yeah, I know. And he has 91 felony indictments. Well, yeah, I guess I know that. 91 felony indictments. And this is a guy who lost the election in 2020. He was responsible for their losing it in 2018 and responsible for their losing the congressional elections in 2022. Yeah, I know that. But now we have Biden being investigated. They'll drop the word investigated. And so it's a horse apiece. That is what they are trying to do. Muddy it up. Throw some mud. That is what they're trying to do. Now, the deeper question is going to be, they're going to look at this thing. Hunter Biden gave a pretty good statement. He said, look, I've done some bad things. You know, I'll take my medicine, but my dad had nothing to do with anything I did. He had nothing at all to do with my businesses. He didn't financially benefit, wasn't on the board and anything. They are not going to have any evidence to actually impeach him. So the question is, how long do they drag it out? How long do they drag it out? This is December. The election is next November. That's 11 months, a little less than 11 months now. We're moving to the middle of December. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. If they drag it out for 11 months and just say, we're investigating. Nobody here but us chickens, boss. We're sniffing around. We're investigating. People aren't going to fall for that. And Biden will say, hey, look, guys, fish or cut bait. You got something? Fine. You don't? Get out of here. If, on the other hand, they put it to a vote, they can't be sure it'll pass. Now, the reason I say that is 18 Republicans are in seats that Joe Biden won. They're going to have a hard enough time, quite frankly, right now, a hard enough time going to the people, their constituents, and saying, oh, listen, I have nothing against Joe Biden. I like Joe Biden. I mean, I know he got your vote. I like Joe Biden. I simply want to get the camel's nose under the tent. I want to sniff around. Why do you want to sniff around? You already have 10,000 documents or more. I want to sniff some more. That's not a good look. On the other hand, if it is put to an actual impeachment vote and it doesn't pass, that's going to be very bad for the Republicans. You have Fitzgerald. He's the idiot in the 5th congressional district in this state who said we should go to impeachment right now. That's what he said yesterday. Why do we need an inquiry? Go to impeachment. He thinks that's going to what? Help him in Waukesha and Washington County? People in Waukesha and Washington County make up their own minds. I'm going to go to the lines. Dan of Green Bay, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dan?
Yeah, how are you today?
I'm good, Dan. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Oh, just I find your impeachment inquiry speech there interesting in the sense that on two fronts. So first of all, the Trump impeachments were a joke. Okay, there are better legal minds than you. No offense, but much more prominent legal minds than you. That
who are they? Name them.
I don't know. John Turley, lifelong Democrat. Alan Dershowitz, lifelong Democrat.
John Turley.
Oh, you
go
can
ahead.
Laugh
go
at
ahead,
it.
Dan. You're Republican, but go ahead. I want to hear your point of view.
Okay, so obviously, I mean, there are people that know the law much better than you do, who are much more well stationed to understand what's going on. Okay, so let's go past that and go to the current impeachment inquiry. Of course, they don't have a lot of evidence because the administration is stonewalling them. All they're looking for is to get the evidence that they want and to get the information they want. And they're stonewalling it, and they have, and they continue to do it. This isn't hard to understand. This is pretty simple.
Yeah, well, it is. And here's the thing. When you say that the Trump impeachments were somehow trivial or whatever you want to call them, he launched an insurrection, Dan, and people got killed, K-I-L-L-E-D. He tried to blackmail and essentially bribe Zelensky so he couldn't defend his country against Russia to launch a false investigation of Joe Biden. And the big thing they have, by the way, in this one, is they say that Biden intervened to get a guy fired in Ukraine when he was vice president, who was their anti-corruption head. The guy himself was corrupt. The EU wanted him out. Everybody wanted him out. The Republican Party wanted him out, and Joe Biden threw him out. He did the right thing for the United States. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gina?
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. I thought what happened was horrific. I called all the people that represent our state of Wisconsin. Of course, they voted for this impeachment, but they need to cover their own butts in the Green Bay sweep and the false elector scandal in our state that still needs to be brought out to the public and prosecuted. Of course, they're going to kowtow to hopefully they can get Trump back in so they can pardon the whole gal-dang bunch of them. But I don't know where that guy's head's been that just called, and no offense, sir, but I watched the hearings. I mean, people, if you want to see the hearings day by day and all the evidence and all the Republican witnesses, you need to go to PBS, and they'll have these, and you can go on YouTube, PBS, and there's different places that have these hearings. Just Google these hearings. And honest to goodness, you will see all the evidence that maybe you missed out on, but these are Republican witnesses. This was not, and I have to tell you, I watched the insurrection, and I called in, and I saw the different things that Trump did during his when he was in office and stuff. He pulled on the people, and I was calling Nancy Pelosi's office as an independent, saying, hey, you guys got to do something about this. You need to investigate this guy. You know, so
Gene,
anyway.
Thank you. Everybody pay attention to Gene. She, I'm not kidding, watches everything. And if she says go to PBS and do it, go to PBS and do it. Coming up, James Comer, the head of the Oversight Committee, who's going after Biden. What kind of dirty stuff is in his background?
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God...
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to scent season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7. Save that trouble for another day.
on 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt breaks down the shady characters disrupting Joe Biden's administration. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is a real beauty. This guy, James Comer, he's a Republican congressman from Kentucky, very conservative area from Kentucky. And this is a guy who has gone after Joe Biden big time on this impeachment. And he's going to be one of the ones. He heads up the Oversight Committee. Jim Jordan heads up the Judiciary Committee, both going after Biden. And one of the things that James Comer has attacked Biden on is the sins of his son, Hunter Biden, and alleges that Hunter Biden has set up some shell companies that don't disclose the certain assets and all that. And Hunter Biden is very candid. He said, I have done some things, and they can go ahead and impeach Hunter Biden if they want. Although unlike Jared Kushner, Hunter Biden does not have a role in the administration, and Joe Biden has nothing to do with his stuff. However, James Comer has a Jones about shell companies. He has a thing about shell companies. He thinks they're dishonest. Doesn't like them. He can't impeach Hunter Biden, unfortunately. And so he's going after Joe Biden, who has nothing to do with any of this stuff. So some people decided to investigate James Comer. Now, James Comer, not the brightest bulb on the tree, believe me, but James Comer. And he said already there's not enough evidence to impeach Joe Biden. He said it. Says it right now. Well, here's the thing. It turns out that James Comer has at least one shell company himself. James Comer is a real estate investor in Kentucky, and he's made a hell of a lot of money. However, he discloses some of the acreage and buildings and so on that he owns on his congressional financial disclosure. But there is at least one parcel that we know of. So it's 6 acres, and it's located near a highway. What happened was the Congress rammed through some money to improve an area, perhaps it's the highway. All the facts are not clear. That's going to make this property a lot more valuable than James Comer paid for it, and he bought it from a friend of his who's a big construction guy in Kentucky. And contributed heavily. I think he's given James Comer maybe $70,000 one way or the other in his career. James Comer says he's one of my best friends. So suddenly he buys these acres from his friend, but he doesn't disclose them. Now you might say, well, he has to disclose them under the financial disclosure form. That's true, although you know you have the Clarence Thomas didn't bother to do it for 20 years. But, you know, James Comer is a little slyer, a little craftier, a little sneakier. Now, remind you, he's the head guy of the Oversight Committee going after Joe Biden, who didn't do any of this stuff. But in any event, so James Comer, a shell company suddenly crops up, a shell company, land management and real estate company. Well, what's that? And it's not disclosed on his financial disclosure, but that's how it's listed in Kentucky. And it indicates that it is a company that his wife has an interest in. When this was raised, here's Comer's response. This is verbatim, quote, only dumb, financially illiterate people pick up on this, end quote. Quote, only dumb, financially illiterate people pick up on this. Well, not so dumb, not so financially illiterate, but certainly people picking up on it, because you're going after Joe Biden, who didn't do something, and you lied and said he did, just attributing his son to Joe, and then you yourself actually did it. So let's do a Q&A right now with James Comer. Do you deny that you own 6 acres that have been significantly improved in terms of likely financial return because of some federal money that went into the surrounding area? Do you deny that? Well, you know, I don't know that I own it. My wife might own it. I don't know. There's a shell corporation. The shell corporation is called Land Management and Real Estate. It doesn't say James Comer. That's the idea behind a shell corporation. Now, the mind-boggling hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is universally reviled. Everybody loves to pick up on it. Most people are guilty of it at some point in their own lives, too. That's why they hate it. But take a look at this impeachment. The two chairmen of the impeachment committees, or the committees that are going to be used to impeach. One of them is the Oversight Committee. One of them is the Judiciary Committee. And the two chairs are James Comer and Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan. Jordan is hitting Hunter Biden for not showing up. And by the way, he did show up. He just said, I'm not going to give a closed door. I'm not going to get beaten over the head with a blackjack back there, because of the 18 depositions or so you've taken, you've disclosed 2, and the other 16 you lied about. I'm not going to say something and hear you lying about it. So why don't we do it in the open? I have some advice for Hunter. Hunter, just have somebody wire you. Have the FBI wire you. And go in there. They can't check under your clothes. And then just do the deposition, have a transcript made. But the problem is they sometimes hold it in a secure room and they sweep you and all this kind of stuff. These are very sneaky people, by the way. And the other chairman is the guy who has a terrific, he thinks, shell company that's hiding real estate title, basically trying not to attribute it to him in Kentucky. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Well, this Republican Party is something, isn't it, Matt? We've got 2 wars looming that we've got to make some decisions on. This border situation. And this is the best they got. You know, in my mind, you know what they're going to come up with on Hunter Biden? He's Joe Biden's son. That'll be it. That'll be the end of that. But they talked about this morning on one of the shows I'm watching, 1948, when Truman won against the do-nothing Congress. These guys would make that Congress look like they're really doing something. These people are pathetic. You know, elected to do the people's work, and this is what we're getting.
Yeah, that's a really good insight. And Truman in 1948 did do that. He fought back. He was down in the polls. He was a hell of a lot lower in the polls than Joe Biden is right now, a lot lower. And he goes, this is a do-nothing Congress. You know, get off your duff and do something. And he was specific about the bills that had to be done now. But the Democratic congressman from Hawaii just said, look, there's no Agriculture Appropriations Act. We're coming up of the 12 bills that are needed to fund the government. They finally today passed the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, which we're going to talk in an upcoming segment. But with the rest of them, I mean, what's going on is that they're sitting there. They couldn't even elect a speaker. They threw one speaker out, then they torpedoed a few other speakers, then they finally came up with a guy, and now they're turning on him. You know, how bad is that? Really, how bad is that? Coming up, a lot of weather, a lot of news, and the Regents do a revote with Voss.
Your home for the devil's advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he agrees with the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling Friday calling for new legislative district boundaries. The Democratic governor says in a statement that the Republican-controlled legislature has gerrymandered itself into partisan majorities for more than a decade. On the other hand, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says liberal justices prejudged the case and calls Friday's ruling a sad day. It's the end of the line for one of Wisconsin's most beloved local businesses. Lane's Bakery on Park Street in Madison closed its doors Sunday. Lane's Bakery goes back to 1954. Charles and his wife Becky say they're ready to retire. Last we knew, the Lanes were holding out hope a new buyer would start up the bakery again. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. It's looking like a brown Christmas with the lack of snow across the state. But this is Wisconsin, and winter weather is sure to hit in the near future. And when things get slick on your sidewalks and roads, if you use salt now, the chloride in it has an adverse effect later.
Commonly salt our driveways, our roads, parking lots. It actually only takes 1 teaspoon of salt to pollute 5 gallons of water to a level that's toxic to freshwater fish and freshwater ecosystems. Summer and spring hit, chloride levels in our natural bodies of water, like our lakes, rivers, and streams, actually spike because of the salt that we use.
Anna James with the UW Extension. County officials across the state continue to work with brine, which is a mix of water and salt. The salt alone costs you, the taxpayer, $35 million every year. I'm Terry Barr.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Packers get the win in Carolina. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The final score, 33-30. Packers were leading by 2 touchdowns. Rookie Bryce Young, quarterback for the Panthers, brought his team back. Had they put in new plays?
You know, we didn't have these magical new plays. We didn't have these, magical new schemes. We had some new stuff in, but ultimately we would talk about all year. It's just execution.
The Packers are now 7-8 and still have a chance to make the playoffs. How did Jordan Love perform? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought Jordan did an outstanding job. We just never quite got into a great rhythm in the second half.
Love is running out of receivers. Christian Watson still dealing with a hamstring injury. Jaden Reed unable to play because of an injured toe. Dontavian Wicks suffered a chest injury after scoring a touchdown.
Christian being out and Jay Reed being out. Guys had to step up. Rome had to step up. Wicks had to step up. Just he's having more opportunities in that role with the guys injured. And obviously with him getting hurt, more guys got to step up.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
It is going to be a warm and wet Christmas day. We'll get to the upper 40s to near 50 this afternoon with showers this afternoon. 1 to 2 tenths of an inch possible. The wind today out of the southeast at 15 to 25. More light rain tonight, 43. Showers again tomorrow with a high right around 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt concludes the discussion on impeachment inquiries before moving on to the attack on the UW System's DEI program. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. We're going to go to you in order. Do not hang up. We'll start with Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Oh, thanks as always for the thoroughness of your show, Matt. I just wanted to respond to one of your callers in the previous segment who was, number one, calling you and then dissing you and saying you don't come even near the greatness of Jonathan Turley, and that Jonathan Turley had been all about saying that, yes, an impeachment for President Biden was, on docket and could be supported. That's not what he said. And I'm looking at the Hill and the it just is so funny because it responded to what you said in terms of saying that there's a difference between an impeachment, a call for an impeachment, and a call for an impeachment inquiry, which is what has happened. And it's not the same thing. But apparently that went right by that guy, as you thought that may happen. So what Mr. Turley said back in, let's see, the date on this is September 28, 2023, when speaking before the Republican committee, said, I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment. And in fact, he even went so far as to say to the lawmakers in public that the details they had gathered to that point, quote, really do gravitate in favor of the president. That would be President Biden, end quote. There's a difference. Impeachment inquiry, impeachment, not the same thing. And it's too bad that he proved your point that most people just blur it together and aren't listening carefully and don't know the difference. So I would encourage him to listen to you a lot more closely because he'd have a much better idea of what Jonathan Turley actually said. Thanks a lot, man.
You always come up with some very, very fine detail, very interesting, important detail. Much appreciated, as always. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Andrew?
Hey, Matt Flynn. Joe was absolutely correct in all that. And hopefully the first caller will listen to your show because he just doesn't get it. And to say that, Matt, thank you for your service in the military to this country. Thank you, Matt, for your service in the legal system of this country. Thank you, Matt, for your service in the Democratic Party. Thank you, Matt, for your service providing information for us every day in a wonderful show format. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I should have called you before the holiday, but I'm thankful for you, Matt Flynn. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Thank you very much. Strokes are few and far between in this business, believe me, so that is much appreciated. Well, I'll tell you what, there has been a revote, by the Board of Regents in Wisconsin. Remember, on Saturday, it was 9-8 to reject the deal with Voss. They switched, and then by a vote of 11-6 yesterday. So that means that there were six people who switched over. And in particular, there was one influential regent who moved to redo it, which is a signal that they were going to change. And she made the very, very good point that there's, as part of the strategic plan of the University of Wisconsin, there's still a strong commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I want to get under this a little bit. What comes from this? What benefits come from this? And what are the sticking points? Well, the benefits that come from it is that now there'll be raises for about 35,000 people, about half the employees in the state. Work for the UW system. And I've talked to at least one chancellor on this subject who said, we're going to lose people because they can make more money working for Amazon or, working for UPS or working for FedEx or something. And we've got to be able to give them raises. They like working for UW, but you can't expect you're not going to pay them. So that's a good thing. Number one. Number two, they'll be treated equally, in other words, to everybody else. Number two, the engineering building will get built on UW-Madison's campus. Absolutely essential. UW-Madison is one of the top engineering schools in the country. You want to go there if you are a top engineering student or aspire to be. And many of our graduates stay in the state. And it's an important school, and private donors had put up a big chunk of the money. So it was a no-brainer. It was wrong of the Republicans to try to use that as leverage or as sort of a bribe to get the UW to change various policies. Now, what's going to happen is about a third of the DEI positions are going to be repurposed, that no one's going to get fired. And there's the people still have the same compassion for underrepresented minorities. But there's something that does concern me. And then I want to put one thing in perspective. What does concern me is apparently as part of the deal, and I'll be interested to see how this is actually implemented, the UW is going to hire a chair of conservative thought. Now, that's Orwellian. That's right out of 1984. I mean, that's the kind of thing, ideological thought. And, you know, conservative or classical liberalism, it's not defined. It's very very shaky. Nobody knows. I don't think any of them know what it means. But remember something. If you are a professor, we want the top. We don't want to be picking people based on immutable characteristics like race, gender, that kind of thing. And we also don't want to be picking them on ideologically. That, in fact, has been the basis for the attack on the University of Wisconsin right now. And in my view, it's a false attack. But I'll give you a couple of examples. How do you hire a conservative philosophy professor? You know, I can just see one of these legislative panels here, one of the committees, these gerrymandered committees sort of gaping at whoever it is. And they go, all right, he'll say, all right, is Plato a conservative or a liberal? I don't know. Sounds liberal to me. Is he the guy with the hairy arms who's Popeye's enemy? No, that's Pluto. That's Pluto. Okay, is he the cartoon dog? No, that's another Plato. This is Plato. Okay, yeah, I don't know. Okay, how about Aristotle? Do you think he's conservative or liberal? Sounds liberal to me. Well, I'll tell you something. His thought about 300 BC sort of dominated European universities to the 17th century. So the guy had something on the ball. Do you think the kid should learn about it? Okay, how about Hegel? What was he, the head of the SS? No, he wasn't the head of the SS. Yeah, no, I don't know what he is, but they probably should not learn about him. Okay, how about Kant? That doesn't sound good either. How about Nietzsche? Yeah, we should learn about him. You think he's a conservative? Yeah, well, no, he's not a conservative. You see, and then economics. We want him to learn about Adam Smith. Okay, great. Now, every economist learns about Adam Smith. How about Ricardo? Who's he? Is that I Love Lucy's husband? No, it's not. Okay, how about Friedman? No, okay, how about, you see, who are they going to hire? Because none of them in the legislature know beans about anything, literally. So what they'll hire is, somebody will come in and he'll talk a good game. He'll talk right-wing woke instead of the feared left-wing woke. Who the heck picks people like that? What kind of a deal is this? What kind of a deal is this? And the other thing that really frosts me is the DEI program doesn't work as it is now anyway. But first, we are going to go to the lines to hear from Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going with me today, Wisco Paul.
Yeah, good afternoon, Matt. Enjoy your show. I just have a couple of things. First of all, nice to see Paul Ryan call at Trump today and side with Liz Cheney and Kinzinger, but that's a whole other story. But it was nice to see somebody in Wisconsin side with them, that Trump is, I guess you could call him bonkers. Hey, but as far as the UW regions, I think it's three or four of them haven't been confirmed yet by the shadow governor, Voss. You know, they took a lot of Tony's power away way back when. So I don't think any of them voted for this. But the biggest thing I take from this is the way, well, you were held hostage by Voss, okay? And it's just the way it is. The state of Wisconsin, until we get fair maps, it's I don't know what you expect in government. But the wage thing is very, very big. That's a big thing there. and then the engineering building. So basically, I think they went back and did the right thing, only because you are being held from or hostage again by this shadow governor, I'll call him Boss, and they are so petty they can't even confirm these regions, for goodness sakes. And I don't even know if Tony's whole cabinet's been confirmed yet, but that's what you're dealing with, Matt, and I just wanted to point that out. And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Those are excellent comments, as always. Yeah, you're right on the head. I don't like this process. And what happened, though, is, and you think, you're right, the wage issue was paramount. Now, Tony Evers did bring a lawsuit arguing that Voss had no right to deny them the wages. I mean, Voss came out with a statement the other day, said they're not getting the wages. That is what people said in companies in the 1930s when they were busting labor unions and hiring Pinkertons to shoot them. I'm not kidding. Shoot them. Shoot some strikers. And this kind of cruelty that, well, some people don't deserve wages. If it's wages, you don't get them. But if somebody gets a subsidy, a company, or people get a tax break and make a heck of a lot of money, or you overlook securities fraud and all that, that's okay. This party, this Republican Party, is pretty sick. And I agree that Paul Ryan, even though I disagree with many of the things he did and said when he was in the Congress, is standing up to Trump, just like Liz Cheney, just like Adam Kinzinger. But there aren't enough of them, quite frankly. So that's number one. Number two, what do you do? Now, Tony could have waited, or the regents could have waited and said, all right, let's see if Tony's lawsuit is successful. The problem is that can take a lot of time, and there are a lot of people who live paycheck to paycheck, and there are a lot of people who have nothing to do with DEI. And I'm talking about maintenance people and a lot of other people, secretaries, whatever. And at some point, they're going to look around, and you're going to lose many hundreds of years of accumulated job experience in the UW system. And I think that's what was weighing on their minds. It is true that the Senate has refused to confirm some of Evers' appointments. Some of them held up for a long time. They wouldn't confirm the DNR appointment so that they could leave Dentist Fred. Remember Dentist Fred? Dentist Fred. Remember him? But they finally did confirm him, because when Dentist Fred left, he had succeeded, and they had succeeded in making sure that there were cancer-causing chemicals in all the water in this state, all of it. There's no county you can go to and go, I'm gonna fish here, I'm going to eat those fish, and I'm fine. Maybe you're fine. The manufacturers, the Republican Party, and Dentist Fred was their tool, and they achieved that. And because frequently he would vote and it'd be a one-vote majority with Dentist Fred. So they did it there. The regents, you're right, they've done it. They've done it on the technical colleges. And then they eventually confirm after they've done their damage, after they've done their dirty work. So the one thing, and I was about to talk about it, but I'll just hurry it up here. The DEI programs have to be relooked at. African-American enrollment in the UW system went from 2 to 3%. That's ridiculous. The African-American population in this state is a lot more than 3%. What this has done is some DEI programs, and it's worse than the Ivy League, but some of them are really kind of just functioning to bring in students from other countries who are anti-Semitic, are frankly threatening. And I would like to see DEI programs that concentrate on getting larger numbers of our American, African-American friends into the college, Latinos and indigenous people here in the United States. Okay, coming up, Trump threatens two senators and one of them caves and endorses him. Coming up.
The Shaw, WAUK.
The mission of the Milwaukee LGBT Community Center is to further develop the vibrant lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in the greater Milwaukee area. And they've been doing it for 25 years. The center delivers education, health promotion, and other community building services, meeting the needs of LGBT youth, adults, and their allies in the greater Milwaukee area. All powered by your generosity. Get to mkelgbt.org to see where your end-of-year donations can make magic happen all year long.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for tuning in to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt talks about the surging economy under President Joe Biden.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let me tell you a little something about the economy. How many polls have you seen where some folks go, well, Biden's no good on the economy, Trump's good on the economy? That's all baloney. That's all repetitions of false statements made by Republicans. Let's look at the data. You're not woke if you don't know history. You don't know history and you're not accurate unless you look at the data. Look at the facts. Just announced, inflation fell in November again. It dropped 0.1%. Basically, as gas prices fell over the last year, inflation has been down to 3.1%. The best, frankly, in the world, certainly in any of the industrial countries. It's absorbing immigration and everything else, but he has done a fantastic job. Joe Biden done a fantastic job. Remember some data that I gave you the other day, too. Since 1989, that's the fall of the Berlin Wall, so that's 44 years. 98% of new jobs created in the United States, 98% were created under Democratic presidents. Bill Clinton, 92 to 2000. Barack Obama, 2008, 2016, and Joe Biden, just this last term, 98%. 2% of the jobs were created under both Bushes and Trump. Both Bushes and Trump. Both Bushes and Trump is 16 years. Only 2% of the jobs. Under Biden, 14 million jobs have been created. 14 million. Under Trump, fewer than 2 million. 2 million. Both of them had the pandemic to contend with. So when I say that about inflation coming down, when I say that about jobs created, you must understand, no president creates on his own a single job. No president creates on his own a drop in inflation. Inflation is a worldwide phenomenon, and unemployment is a societal phenomenon. If you take a look what happened in the Depression and all that. But what a president does is he or she leads. They're leaders, and they form a platform. They form a strategy with the Congress to pass certain legislation. And the reason why Democratic presidents have created 98% of the jobs in 44 years, and the reason why it's under Joe Biden that inflation has come down to 3.1%, is because what he does and what Clinton and Obama did, what all of them did, is to concentrate on making everybody successful, everybody taken care of, the middle class, wealthy people, and the most poor. Middle class, wealthy people, and the most poor. When I was a kid, I lived in Mexico. Mexico City, La Ciudad de México, DF. My dad was a professor, and he was doing research down there. So I did the part of the second and the third grade. It's a wonderful country, wonderful people, wonderful memories of it. But the disparity in living conditions, you had people who were very wealthy, who had these very nice homes, but they were surrounded by barbed wire, and they had like Doberman pincers and that kind of thing in the Rottweilers in the yard. And other people were always trying to break in. And then you had families living on garbage dumps. You know, now Mexico City has a lot of people, and there's a lot of garbage dumps, and they're just out there, and you'd have people camping on the garbage dump. You have something like that in India and elsewhere in Africa. We don't have that in the United States. We have things like Social Security, unemployment comp, workers' compensation, Medicare, Medicaid. We have good wages. We have labor laws. That involves prosperity for everybody. The other anomaly is wealthy people do better under Democratic presidents. The stock market, believe it or not, since 1925 has done better under Democratic presidents. Why? Democratic presidents don't manipulate the stock market. They don't know anything about it. But if everybody prospers, the wealthy prosper a lot. It does nobody any good to have the average person not doing well. And that's the difference in the mindset. That's, for instance, Donald Trump's, for instance, his tax cut. 88% of it went to the, what, top 1%. Now, lowering taxes is a good thing. Believe it or not, the marginal top tax rate in the income tax under Dwight Eisenhower was 90%. I'm not kidding, 90. Jack Kennedy came in and lowered it to 70%. Everybody said, oh, wait a minute. You know, no. He said, we want to lower taxes as much as possible. We want to incentivize people to make money. But we want to make sure folks are taken care of. Now the marginal rate is up around, what, 39%? And, you know, the Republicans always try to find loopholes that benefit a handful of people. And they don't understand that in doing that, they, in the long run, are hurting everybody. I'll give you an example. Did you know that hedge fund operators pay no income tax? None. Why is that? Because they had their, and these are people, if they have $1 billion under investment, they will get, say, 2%, they'll get 20 million in fees, and then 1.5% over the S&P 500 if they outperform. They'll make 34 million a year. Some of them have 10 billion under management or more. They make hundreds of millions a year. Their lobbyists went down to Washington and said, let's change the name of what they make. It's not income, it's carried interest. Nobody knew what that meant. Well, carried interest is something that lumber companies and oil companies get, because if you plant a forest, you plant a whole forest, it takes you years to get anything out of it, and you drill 50 wells, you might get one. These hedge fund managers take no risk, but they also pay no income tax. They pay capital gains, roughly, about half. This has been a great show. Great callers, as always. A lot of news and weather coming up. Another great show. Devil's Advocate, Dom and Crute. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel pounded Gaza today.